So welcome to the house of my family in Chicago, right? This is where Jeremy and Melissa live, and I'm just looking up. Jeremy, what am I seeing? What do I see in front of this house?
Sure, so we are at the entrance of the building, and in front of us we see a concrete inlays that are handmade, including...
These are little rosettes, like you'd see in France.
Exactly, and it's all still original. And in 1908, there was a very wealthy woman in Chicago by the name of Anne Rose, and she wanted this house built on the boulevard, and the boulevard is a very, very famous street here in Chicago, and it's an historical boulevard, which means it will forever be preserved by the city of Chicago.
That's Logan Boulevard.
Logan Boulevard, exactly.
Right.
And so if we look here again, at the very top of the entrance is a chiseled statue, so to speak, or I don't know what we would call that, of Anne's face. And you can see that in her hair are two little rose petals, and there's roses everywhere. There's rose stained glass in the front door.
Did you say her name was Rose?
Anne Rose.
Right.
Her last name was Rose.
Right, so this stucco work, I think, or whatever
Absolutely.
It would be called.
So throughout the entire building, even when you walk into the entrance, the tile on the floor are
these
little roses.
Of course.
Right? And when we walk in, there's a chandelier that is brass, and at the very end there are little roselets as well. All of it was
hers. So this is personal branding.
Absolutely. And so the entire building was hers, and so over time they separated them into individual apartments, but they used to be separate rooms for different things. And if you were to walk in and go into the right, there's a banquet hall in here where she would host her friends for dinner and all the wealthy people. And there's also a chauffeur unit down the bottom as well where the chauffeur would live and bring her family throughout, you know, in the old vehicles and so forth.
But it almost reminds me of an apartment building in Paris.
It is very Parisian, especially with the terrace on the front and all the stained glass and sort of the ornate work on the building. It's incredible.
And how did you find it?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. We found it online, of course.
We spent
3.5 weeks searching for apartments all throughout Chicago in different neighborhoods, and we saw almost 30 different apartments, and we deeply hated all of them.
Shall we walk to the coffee house while we're talking?
Yeah. And we hated every single one of them because none of them had any sort of charm or character. Many of them were filthy and beat up, and we didn't really want to move into anything like that. We saw this posted online on a website that posts local apartments in Chicago. Watch it there. Oh. And it was posted within 20 minutes of the posted time. We sent an email and called the owner of the posting and said we'd like to come see it immediately. And we came within an hour afterwards, took a tour of the building, and we said we want it right away.
How long did it take you from the moment you saw the outside of the building to decide in your own mind that this was the place?
So when we saw the outside of the building and the location, we knew we really enjoyed the location and the building itself. After meeting the owner for about 5 minutes or 3 minutes walking up to the apartment, we're going to go straight.
Up the stairs, because you're on the second floor, yes?
Third floor, the very top.
Oh, okay.
So walking up the stairs, just a nice, jovial, friendly conversation that we had with the building owner, we thought, well, good, that's another criteria that we want to check, which was a good landlord, right? So far we've got two of the three wonderful things that we wanted done before we even saw the apartment. And when she opened the apartment, the design and the sort of the origin of the architecture and everything was still so pristine that it had everything that I wanted architecturally and artistically, that it had that wow factor.
Huge amounts of wood. Huge amounts of
stained
wood.
Lots of wood and space and light and windows and sliding doors and panel doors and stained glass and all these wonderful things that it's very difficult to find today. We didn't even make it through to the second room, and we knew we wanted it. So the rest of the tour was just for fun.
Fantastic. And what actually happens then here? Do you then put a deposit, or what's the process?
So there are some... Cook County is the county that Chicago is in. And under Cook County law, it's up to the landlord whether or not they want to take a deposit, or if they want to take a security deposit, or if they want to take first and last month's rent or whatever. And there was a predetermined amount that the landlord wanted to take it off the market and secure the rental. And so we gave that to them the next day, and it was done. Hello.
Hello. We're just walking past this family sitting outside in the open air on
it's
chairs.
A little yard sale. A little stall.
Are they selling stuff?
It's a yard sale.
Yeah, a yard sale. Right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That would be like a mini car boot sale.
Exactly.
Really.
Yeah. Those are very common in the city.
Right. And yeah. So go on. Yeah. So you give it. Is it a deposit you give, or is it a deposit plus the first month's rent?
So we gave them first month's rent plus half of the following month's rent.
Right.
Which is a bit of a financial hit to the gut.
Absolutely.
But we knew that we wanted this place, and it was really special, and we don't have any intentions of moving anywhere anytime soon. And because we do host so many people so frequently, we wanted to have a place that was unique to Chicago, that had a great story, so that we could do things like this and tell people the story, because it really is truly unique. And the interesting thing is that our very apartment and our building is documented in several history books on Chicago architecture. It's been featured in some dramas and TV shows and so forth and so forth.
The owner, was famous, the original Mary Rose or whatever.
No, Anne Rose.
Anne Rose.
I don't know if she was technically famous or not, but the building itself over the decades has become very, very well known, because it's so well preserved. And so let's kind of tell you where we are right now. So where we're walking, now this is the Logan Square area.
Right.
So right here on our left is a small little cottage looking building.
Yeah, in the middle of a kind of patch of grass with trees around it.
And so right here, running this way and running that way and running this way, would be old rail cars, trolley cars. Right? And this was in the late 1800s, early 1900s. You'd run this way. This is where all the passengers would wait inside. This comfort station is what it's called. And they would wait inside here for their trolley to come to pick them up. But over the decades, in the 60s and 70s, this neighborhood really degraded rapidly. And became very poor and
the train system disappeared?
Well, the trolley system disappeared, and then we moved to subways and elevated trains after time. But this completely fell apart and everything. The owner of our building bought this unit here, completely preserved and redid everything, restored everything, and now it's a community art gallery. And it's just stellar.
You mean there are paintings in there?
Absolutely. I don't know if there's a show today, but we could probably go peek in the window on our way back with our coffee.
On our way back. We'll get to the coffee.
And they're also working on other projects as well. They've created a preservation society, which is called the Logan Square Preservation Society, where they've coupled with a couple of investors to help them fund restoration projects of major buildings in the Logan Square neighborhood. One is, when you look directly ahead, there's a very famous church straight away that they helped restore. There are very famous light posts in Logan Square. If you can kind of see here on the corner, there's a black one there with the white top.
Oh, yes, yes.
That is over 150 years old. Right. And you can see them on both sides. They used to be completely rusted and falling down.
They would have been gas lamps, would they?
Exactly, exactly. And they've restored every single one of them in the hall, in the square, which I think is really, really beautiful. So they've done some tremendous work in the Logan Square area. And unlike any other place in Chicago, there's not a lot of people doing work like that.
And look, one other thing you haven't mentioned, I mean, you haven't mentioned that you have a child, right? So was it anywhere in your mind about local schools at all?
Well, the good thing is, Owen is at a school called Nettlehorst. And Nettlehorst is one of the best public schools in Chicago.
Public school doesn't mean what it means in Britain. In Britain, it means highly private and highly expensive.
Very different. We would call that a private school.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So public school, it's a cheap school financially for us. And so we needed to ensure that he was still getting the academic quality that he needed. So Nettlehorst is the best in the city for that. We're gonna go.
And you knew that already?
I already knew that because he's been there for a while.
Look, we're heading into music. We're heading into a wall of sound.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what this is. So I'll finish up the Nettlehorst thing. So Owen is in a program called the Enrichment Program. He took an exam and placed in the 99th percentile of reading, math, and science. So he is in kindergarten, just graduated kindergarten last month. And he was in the fifth grade reading and math. And in science, was also in the fifth grade.
So it means he's a bright cookie.
Well, they put him into the Enrichment Program, which means it doesn't matter what neighborhood you live in. He can stay in the school regardless.
Oh, I see.
He's
so
qualified
it's...
for the program.
Right, right.
So it was never a concern.
Well, that's what. And did you know about this when you picked?
Oh, of course.
Right. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's affiliated with the University of Chicago, and it was one of the first laboratory schools for the University of Chicago to study urban education. So I knew all about it.
Are you saying that the university in Chicago wanted to study? Urban education.
Yep.
And do they literally? They didn't set up a school, did they?
They did not. They took over a school. They essentially purchased the data. And then they run. There's a wonderful book called "Learning How to Walk" by I can't remember who it is, but it's a two University of Chicago professors. One was with my school, which is the policy school. It came out in 1989, and they did another one in 1991. It's a great book. But what we're walking into here is called the Milwaukee's Arts Festival. So it's our local neighborhood festival.
I'm not going to change the sound level. if it becomes impossible for anyone to hear, they're going to get the sensation of the music. So this is the Milwaukee Arts Festival, 2014.
You got it. Hey, shut up. We're just going to walk through. We're going to walk into the presentation.
No problem, no problem. Now this is in the middle of the street. There are people standing up in the street. And there's a stage. And there are about six people on stage.
We've escaped to some quietness for a bit. But the unique thing about our arts festival is they take these open gallery spaces. They allow local resident artists to display all of their work. And so this is local artist gallery work. This is your installations, and they're all up and down the neighborhood right now, all up and down the street. Yeah.
Okay, so one is a film projector onto a wall with people dancing, right?
Yeah.
Three women dancing. The others are like little tents with them made of, with the canvas is made of different colored cloth, cotton. There's crochet and sticks hanging inside and gloves, plastic gloves, and each one is totally unique. There are paper cutouts hanging inside. There are balloons, red ones and pink ones and green ones and pink ones. And then there's a, it's like little tents, you know?
It's interesting.
Made of tablecloths.
Clearly the local punk band is playing at the moment. But our coffee
Would they be local?
Absolutely. So our coffee shop is right next door.
Can we go there? Let's go. Coffee shop, here we come. Wow, that was a pop-up shop. We're now heading to what I've been told is a tiny coffee shop. And it's called Intelligentsia. Oh, wow, it's first impression is that it's air-conditioned, right? We've come in out of really warm weather, and I'm now in T-shirt.
He's archiving, so...
I'm just recording the sound of the place. It's...
What are you going to have?
A coffee? Now, what types of coffee do you do here? You have an espresso machine? What else?
There it is.
So, the machine is a special kind of a machine. And there are three... you can make three lots of coffee at the same time. I'll have a black coffee, Jeremy. Yeah, I don't know what to ask for.
That's good. No, that's fine.
I literally have. I don't want a espresso. I'd like what we would call an Americano, right?
Okay. We've got the same.
Yeah. I don't want anything with milk in it or chocolate on top of it.
Okay. So how about we just do two drip coffees?
Perfect. Anything. There are people sitting around in a group. There's no tables in one part of it, just little kind of blocks of wood that you can sit on. The walls are whitewashed. Outside on the street is a punk band playing, and people standing there watching, and we got relatively good insulation from the sound. But this building is... this is called Intelligentsia. Intelligentsia,
yeah.
Right. And you can actually take home a bag of our tasty organic direct trade coffee from Mexico. And here I'm looking at the things that they sell here are chocolate croissant, almond croissant, gâteau basque, morning bun, chocolate hazelnut cookie made with oat flour, hazelnut, butter, coconut, and dark chocolate. Just so you'll know, that's $2.75. Underneath is oatmeal butterscotch, chocolate chip for $2.75, walnut chocolate for, I can't work out, looks like $2.75, and peanut butter. Walking around here, I can also buy orange juice, you know, fruit smoothies. I can buy apple juice by Martinelli's. I can buy strawberry, Icelandic style, 0% milk fat. It looks like yogurt or something like that, made by a company called Siggy's. On the wall here are magazines to read. Local magazines look like art magazines with short stories, art there. The New Yorker is on the wall here. I can buy it for $8 to buy the New Yorker. Wow. Jeremy, is the New Yorker $8 to buy?
Probably.
Right, that's a good price, shall we say?
Grays.
But I wouldn't buy it for $8. But I'm just intrigued by this. Here I have a thing called Grays, which I'm picking up to look at, just to get a flavor. It looks like a poetry one. But it's actually the multiple faces of the infamous foodie. It's short stories, it's writing, it's poetry, it's design. And here's a poem by Will Sharp called Italian in Illinois. Give us the slop our guts deserve. Fill our faces with hors d'oeuvre. Exotic pastas and their sauces slip down the throats of hungry bosses. Those sticky, strictly business brutes unbutton brass buttons on super suits. Big salaries by bigger salads, bigger crabs and bigger mallets. So pass a napkin to your kin. We've all got something on our chins. There we are, by Will Sharp. A magazine called Grays, selling for $10. That's it. Anyway, look, we're going to enjoy our coffee. That's just to give you a flavor of this little place. It is about twice the size of Filter in Cork.